afternoon. May it please the court. My name is Bruce Weirach, representing Matthew Pankratz. This case would never have wound up in the court system whatsoever if the Restricted Access Management Division had simply looked at the documents that were submitted, seen that they didn't comply with what the agency requires people submit when they do an agency transfer, called up the fisherman and say, where's this document?
Or if your client hadn't signed an authorized agreement, it wouldn't have wound up there either, right?
Well, there was no notarized sales agreement. That's one of the points. There was no notarized sales agreement. The form, the very first excerpt of the record, page 1, says in the instructions, a copy of or signed a notarized sales or gift agreement. So if Mr. Pankratz and the record had shown a notarized sales agreement that had a notarized sales agreement between Mr. Sherbaron and Mr. Pankratz, the agency simply could say, well, you know, if you send us this notarized sales agreement, we'll approve this transfer. And then the fisherman or the broker would say, handling the transfer, says, okay, well, here's a notarized sales agreement, send it into the agency, no problem, no harm, no foul, transfer occurs. Or in this case, we have a broker that stole money and ended up in jail for stealing it. We're not looking to go back, go against the broker. We're saying if the agency had said, well, broker, you don't have a notarized sales agreement, which we require, just send that in. Then the broker contacts the fisherman and said, yeah, you know, we just have to do this one last little item. We'll send in a notarized sales agreement. We're fine. Then Mr. Pankratz would have seen what happened, and that she had cut and pasted and done all kinds of things, changing the documents that were submitted to carry out her scheme to get money from Nigerians. And that, too, could have stopped this. So I think, really, it goes back to a very simple thing. The agency has these forms, and they require people to submit information. If they don't submit the information, and it says the information is required, because faxed applications aren't acceptable, please submit originals, incomplete applications will not be processed, then this one would have stopped in its tracks.
But the point of it, and this is a strange case, because the point of any of these rules has nothing to do with this, right? And the reason why they want all this information is not to prevent against fraudulent brokers. And so the administrators essentially use the information for their own purposes, but they're not poking around trying to find out whether there are fraudulent brokers.
No, but I think it's interesting that
important. So if it would have prevented it, it would have prevented it almost fortuitously.
That's correct. And in fact, it's not fraudulent brokers has never been an issue. This one is the first one we could find out about, although there's another evidence of brokers that do things right and maybe somebody other brokers that do things wrong, but this is the only legal case that revolves around a fraudulent broker. This has to be distinguished a lot between cases where there's agencies like FERC that allow agencies to waive their requirements unless there's substantial harm shown. In this situation, we're dealing with unsophisticated commercial fishermen that are out fishing and they rely on people to do things for them. The agency spent many, many years developing the halibut transfer program. And part of this situation here is when you have a heavily regulated commercial fishery or fishing program with fishermen and bureaucracy and bureaucrats and valuable shares and historically protected industry like the fishing industry, you're going to require more crossing of T's and dotting of I's than you would in other situations.
Your client did sign, notarize the AFT.
Mr. Pankratz did have a notarized transfer agreement application. That's on file. But what the agency requires is a notarized sales agreement, and that's
not required by any regulation. It's required. There's a statement on the document itself that says you're supposed to.
The regulation itself doesn't specifically spell out these points. That's correct. And the regulation is cited on page 42 of the brief. But they do talk about the transfer agreement to the application and provide an application transfer form to any person on the request. So the specifics of the application form are provided in the application. The agency has then gone forward and fleshed this out because of what Mr. Hogarth, the National Fisheries Service, North Pacific Management Council, and all these other entities have said, we have to do this in order to help these fishermen along. This isn't done for mere superfluous reasons to collect data, although collection of data is important here because they want to know what the shares have called.
But isn't the issue whether the instructions themselves have the force of law such that we must conclude that the administrative agency committed an arbitrary and capricious exercise of its discretion in determining adversely the claim?
And I think that's what the district court relied on, too, that sort of philosophy in citing really the only case it did cite, the Steamboaters case.
Well, philosophy or legal principle, because if it has the force of law, you win. If it doesn't, you lose.
Well, in this situation, under the Administrative Procedures Act, when it applies to all the public, and it gives it to all the public is supposed to comply, the fishermen are supposed to comply, essentially that's an administrative requirement that is imposed on the public. Now, we could not...
So even though it hasn't been promulgated pursuant to the Administrative Procedure Act, duly noticed and comments solicited, we should treat it as if it is a regulation in the Code of Federal Regulations?
The form itself has not been set forth in the Code of Federal Regulations. The transfer application process, the words related to that have.
Right, and there's nothing in the Code of Federal Regulations that says that the application has to be notarized.
The notice will get reviews, and it does not say that either. It does require this kind of a document, though. It does. The agency itself requires the notarized sales agreement.
Isn't the
I asked you a question. You mentioned say a lot of words, but you didn't answer my question. The regulations do not require a notarized sales agreement.
No.
That's my question. So you don't have a regulation that requires it.
No.
Why isn't that the case?
Because what happens here is, in this situation, the agency has held itself out to all fishermen and has required these things in order to protect the fishermen. It is required a copy of a notarized sales agreement. It doesn't require the original.
That's nice, but so what? I mean, you've read Federal Crop Insurance versus Bell, right? It was decided before any of us went to law school. That's the guy who called up and said, hey, am I insured if I plant winter wheat? And they said, oh, yes, don't worry about it. Yeah, we insure winter wheat. They say, you know, what counts is what's in the regulation. Anything else that the agents communicate, isn't binding. The only thing that's binding is what is in the regulation. That's what the Supreme Court said in 1943.
And the four corners of what is, we have to turn square corners with the government, I think, was the other thing. And within the square corners is what the government requires.
There's also a line of cases that says that government agencies are supposed to consistently follow their internal procedures, and if they don't, you may have a cause of action. But here, they didn't do this consistently. Isn't that right?
But this is not internal procedures. This is external procedures that deals with the public and fishermen when they transfer. That's what they require. This is not, my staff do this and do that.
Ultimately, isn't the government's position about this that this also would have made a little difference because the signature page, was a separate page, and she just could have made the same changes, could have had a notarized signature page and everything else would have happened the same way?
Well,
it has to do with the fortuity of this all, actually.
It works that, you know, if you can't figure out one way you're going to defraud these, let's help her sister find another way she's going to defraud them. At least giving notice to the fishermen that we don't have this or the broker that we need a notarized sales agreement would at least stop the process that went through quite quickly through a goose, through this agency, to approve this transfer.
Ordinarily, somebody wants to have a transfer and doesn't want the agency to apply nitpicky procedural rules to get in their way. And people are always complaining about agencies that make them do stupid things that aren't going to do them any good.
Why wouldn't he have gotten this notarized? He got the AFT notarized. If the requirement was that he get the sales agreement notarized, there's every reason to believe he said, okay, now they require both things, he'd have gotten... he did go down and notarize documents with this woman.
He didn't notarize the sales agreement.
Because it wasn't required.
It was required. It says sign. It's required. Please submit the originals. Your application, incomplete applications will not be processed. That's a sign.
Is there any reason to believe that if he thought the thing was required, he would not have gone down and had it notarized at the same time he had notarized AFT?
If he had done that, that would be a different case. In this case, he wasn't even given the opportunity, wasn't even notified, didn't even have a chance to glance at all these fraudulent documents given to the agency because they approved it without him giving him any idea that they had something that was cut, pasted, and faxed and put together improperly, illegally. Time's up.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, this is Jennifer Scheller for the federal agencies. With me at counsel's table is Robert Babson from NOAA Fisheries. I'd like to begin by addressing a point that Judge Berzon drew out, and it was sort of a theme throughout Mr. Weirach's brief, that this act is supposed to be designed to protect fishermen. And that's certainly true in the sense that it's designed to protect the fishery and ensure that there's a resource there in the future for fishermen to harvest. But if you're talking about protections for individual fishermen, the place to look is to the regulations. And in this case, the protections that are spelled out are designed to protect the historical nature of the fishery, to keep the quota shares in the hands of small fishermen and out of the hands of big industrial investors. And those are requirements that are spelled out in the regulations. For instance, that there's a cap on the maximum number of quota shares that can be held, that leasing is prohibited, that sort of thing.
There are requirements for notarized documents and for certain documents to be submitted, and presumably part of that reason is I assume the agency would not be happy if they were transferring shares that people did not intend to have transferred because somebody was fraudulently submitting them.
That's correct, and that's the reason why the application for transfer form is required to be signed by the applicant or his authorized agent and for that application to be notarized. That's spelled out in the regulations, and that was complied with in this case. There is, as the hearing officer found, a notarized application.
So then you also say on the form that you have to have the agreement authorized, notarized. And I would guess that if the agency smelled something funny, they would send it back and say, we're not going to transfer this because the agreement hasn't been notarized. Well, you certainly would retain the authority to do that. So essentially, you're retaining the authority to do it when you want to do it and not when you don't want to do it.
I would say a couple things about that. First of all, the agency wouldn't just deny the request and send it back. If they thought that something wasn't quite right about the agreement, if it looked like maybe the fishermen hadn't signed it or something along those lines, they would contact the broker and or the fishermen and try to resolve that issue. But there is a line of cases that specifically say that this court will not review an agency's compliance with statements that aren't binding on the agency, and that's exactly what we have in this case.
There is also a line of cases that say that if the agency says we're going to do things this way, they have an obligation to do it that way and not in some other fashion. I don't know how the two lines of cases reconcile, but I know they're out there. The second line is not discussed in the briefs, but it exists. So why isn't this fall on one side rather than the other of those?
Well, Your Honor, I'm not going to try to reconcile both lines of cases in all of the situations.
Especially since we don't know what other line of cases are.
But in this particular case, the testimony in the record is that RAND never required the sales agreements to be notarized, or they never required original signatures on the agreements.
Why would they put something on a form that they don't prove?
That's a good question, Your Honor, and I don't know the answer to that. But the end result is that whenever...
It's a question for the person that's running around trying to badly find a notary when you don't really need one.
And as the hearing officer explained, those instructions on the form are advisory to the applicant. And here, Mr. Pankratz, he had the form, but as the court pointed out, he didn't go out and get it notarized.
What difference would it have made if he had gone out and got it notarized? I guess I'm sort of baffled by that. Let's say the agency had said, no, you got to go get it notarized. Is there any reason to believe he wouldn't just have gotten it notarized? He got the other thing notarized.
I think that's exactly right, Your Honor. And that's what the hearing officer found and provided as one of the rationales for his decision, was that even if the sales agreement had been notarized, there's no guarantee that it would have stopped the broker's fraud in this case. Because
Pankhurst was at that point was on the same side, and he was cooperating. He was perfectly happy to do what was necessary to get this deal done.
That's right. He wanted to transfer these shares.
Anything further?
No, Your Honor, unless there are any questions from the court.
Case just argued, stands submitted. Did you have a minute you wanted to take?
No.
Okay. 20 seconds. All right.
The reason to get it notarized is because the record also shows this was an obviously cut and pasted fax signature of Mr. Sherbaron. So it's not simply a signed document. These were fraudulent, cut and pasted. That's clear in the record. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Here's the side with stands a minute.
All rise.